listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. We got a special guest with us today, but Wayne's with us too. So let's say hello to Wayne real quick.
Hey, Bruce, how are you?
All right. Doing really well. Well, you know, this show covers the span of all things coaching and improvement, self-improvement. And we've had the luxury of having combat sports and mixed martial artists here on the show. We had the honor and the pleasure of having Christine Ferreira on the show, a bare-knuckle fighter with us. And so I had the honor and privilege to bring our guest on today. She'll be with us for about 30 minutes. I think she might have to go to a meeting. Jules Gray. Well, thanks for coming on, Jules. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me. I'm very excited.
Yeah, excited. So I'm curious. I want to know, kind of tell me about your role in the BKFC and what you do and what that means. And let's talk about that.
You know, something really awesome about my role is that I have the power to be able to go out and change a lot of women's lives. And that's what's most important to me. And what I feel is a major part of why I continue to do this job is it is heartfelt for me, you know? So my role at BKFC is I'm over the women's division. And I do all of their scouting for the women. I also do all of their negotiations for multi-fight deals. I then also do their women's matchmaking.
So, wow.
You're a matchmaker. A different kind of matchmaker.
Yeah. I always tell my boss, David Feldman, he's like, I forget, what do I pay you for? And I'm like, do you know how hard it is to keep one woman happy? I keep 30 happy. That's what you pay me for. Like, you're priceless.
Perfect. Well, Bruce, who was the little girl, the bare knuckle fighter we had on? What's her name?
Christine Ferreira.
Oh, she was, you know her. And I'm going to tell you, she was one of the most fun guests I've seen on here. Yeah. I still remember her and remember her movements and her enthusiasm, and I mean, she just was like going to jump out of that chair she was talking from. And yeah.
I'm so happy you're fond of Christine Ferreira. I'm fond of her as well.
great.
She is our 125 champion, you know. Christine has come from a very diverse background. She has overcome so many challenges to get to where she is, but the amount of dedication and sacrifice that she's put into the game for so long, mm-hmm. She deserves the spot that she's in. Yeah. And the fact that she is so humble about it, mm-hmm. She doesn't think mm-hmm. that it's owed to her. She doesn't think that, you know, it's something that should be given to her. She's willing to work for it. And she always says one of the things that's really imprinted in my mind about her is the one thing that she says is, and I know this is a quote from someone else as well, is hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. So even as talented as she is, she always brings forth the hardest work that I have ever seen an athlete bring to the table. It's amazing.
Yep.
Yes. Really, she was cute. We got to have her back sometime because
yeah, we will.
She's a real joy. I mean, she is just bubbly.
Yeah, but I saw how it, Jules, you were out on the track with her one day, I think. I saw on Facebook, so it was awesome.
Yep.
Well, sounds like, you know, you do what two or three people do in other leagues. I got a few questions for you. Maybe it's a little bit too soon to ask these questions, but how would you differentiate what you do? And I know bare knuckle's a different product. I know, and I love it. That's why we have you guys mm-hmm. on here. Big Feldman fan over here. Just love it. Can you talk about how you guys are a little bit different from, say, a UFC or a PFL? Can you share a little bit about that?
Yes, absolutely. You know, there's so many people who have been on the fence about BKFC because honestly, bare knuckle, it looks very savage. There's so much blood. There's continuous engagement in the ring. You only have 5 rounds, 2 minutes long, to prove your worth in there. And so what does that mean? That means there's not time to disengage. There's not time to run in the ring. You know, you have to come forward and fight, and it's super entertaining. A lot of people don't know this, but our knockout rate is 86% in bare knuckle.
Whoa.
86%. And, you know, the really cool thing about BKFC that I love is they're so adamant about doing their research and their study on everything to benefit the athletes and make sure that they're in the best hands possible. We do have an institute that does a lot of brain studies on our athletes to see, you know, they follow through with everything and make sure the damage that's going on. And what we see mainly is topical damage. The cuts, it looks bad because there's cuts and there's blood and there's, but what we don't see, it's like in boxing, you have these big gloves on and you're getting hit around for 12 rounds, 10 rounds, 12 rounds, right? So your head is kind of getting beat up. And after years and years of this, you start to see, like, you know, brain damage and things. Right. What we're not seeing in bare knuckle is that. We're not seeing that their heads are having that, like, car wreck impact, right?
Right.
So this to me is a big sell of what we do, because in the longevity of things, athletes are coming out of bare knuckle healthier. They're coming out of bare knuckle unfazed. You know, they got a few scars, they got a few cuts, they may have broke a finger or broke a hand somewhere, but it's not detrimental to their lifespan.
I think Christine also shared with us that, like, even with those UFC gloves and the way that they're constructed, right, that you're hitting this person and it's causing way more, like you said, way more brain damage and way more coup contra coup. That's what that's called, when your head snaps and your brain rattles in the head and it causes those lesions, which then can cause Parkinson's, stuff like that. And so it's really interesting, you know, the fact that in this bare knuckle, you have a lot of cuts. You notice that a lot of fighters get cut, and the cuts look a lot alike. You know what I mean? Have you noticed that? Like, they'll be, and those cuts, while the head bleeds a lot, but it's still, it's just stitch up and kind of, I hate to say it, but stitch up and go. But you're right. I think it's a lot healthier. I can't believe I'm saying that, but I think it is.
You're definitely correct in your position. I believe in saying that, you know, it is more a lot healthier for these fighters. And the topical that you're seeing, you know, those cuts and stuff, we have surgeons in the back that stitch them right up, like they're taken care of immediately. We have the best of the best doctors to make sure that these fighters are, you know, not sustaining any kind of really rough injuries.
Right.
And I really think that is something that sets us aside from a lot of the other combat sports. And then, you know, we do have a lot of spectators who say, you know, like, this is so barbaric, it's so savage. But how is kneeing someone in the face or elbowing someone in the face less savage than punching someone in the face?
Right.
You know, I mean, to me, I just don't see the difference in those two, except for a kick to the face has a lot more power than a fist to the face.
Exactly. I think if just a lay person like myself, I would think it would be the other way around, that the gloves would be softer. It's very interesting what you're saying. And I can understand that it would be safer and healthier. Because, you know, when you get a cut on your forehead, it bleeds like a stuck pig. Because that's so thin and all. It just looks like you just got shot, but it's just a surface cut. So yeah, it makes sense. And it's interesting. That's very interesting. Those comparisons.
Yeah, That's a game changer. That's a huge differentiator. And honestly, my youngest son turned me on to be, you know, BKFC and I love some of the things. I mean, some of the things that I notice that you guys do is where the fights are located. They're strategically located in towns that that might not get right good live fighting. And so you guys provide that. I really love that aspect of you guys. I was going to ask you, now it sounds like you're like a one-woman league there. I mean, in terms of if you're doing contracts and recruiting, are you also doing fighter development, or is y'all do any kind of fighter development for the ladies? And what does that look like?
Yes, we do have a marketing team and a fighter development team, our fighter relations team. And I am a part of that team. I don't lead that team. There is someone more qualified than me. His name is Andy Hall. He actually leads that team to, you know, kind of have our goal is to have everything functioning and moving so smoothly for the women's division that there's not a need or want that they have when they come to our facilities, when they come to our fights, you know, when they get to the venue. We hold their hands and take care of everything from the minute they get off the plane until the minute they're stepping in that ring, you know, and then outside as well. Because as you know, these fighters, they don't have a retirement. They don't have a pension. They don't have medical insurance. So it's very important for us that we nurture them into a way that those things can be provided in some manner. So we make many connections with our fighters for doctor's offices and specialists that sponsor, you know, that offer sponsorships to athletes and that tend to bear health care, you know, even outside of what happens in the fight ring. We do have our own personal insurance that covers any kind of injuries that the fighters may, you know, endure during the fight.
Okay.
But outside of that, we try to nurture every aspect of their life to make the fight easiest for them. So, you know, whether it be helping them with sponsorships or whether it just be promoting their name and getting their fan base to grow, you know, at the end of the day, it all has to make business sense. And how it makes business sense is if we all grow together as one. You know?
Yeah. And where are you guys headquartered out of? Where's y'all's?
Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania. But oddly enough, we do not have fights in Pennsylvania yet, as it's a state that has not been sanctioned for bare knuckle. So the majority of our fights are based in Florida, but we are sanctioned in 39 different states.
That's awesome. That is really, really good to hear.
And three other countries, by the way. So we're international now.
You are international now. And that's been a great move. You know, I like the fact that that you guys have taken on fighters that were in other leagues prior to BKFC, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And so it's really good. I think that's good for everybody. I think it's good for the fighters. I think it's good for you guys as well. It's like I'm going to say it, Platinum Mike Perry. Okay, I'm going to say it. I'm just gonna say it. Yeah, so here's this guy, right? I mean, yeah, I love it, man. Platinum, man, brings his wife out on the corner and just rocks everybody. And then, you know, he goes on to you guys. He's done, you know, real well. Have you had some interactions yourself yet with exiting female fighters from other leagues and having to assimilate them? Or is it like 95% of your work working with new talent and bringing them up?
So I do about a 50-50 share, maybe 60-40 share. I lean a little bit towards the fact that I like to breed these homegrown fighters because I love to walk into these small gyms that have been given very little attention, that, you know, don't have really big names in them. And I go in there and I just watch for several days. I watch to see the athletes that are dedicated. They're there every day. They're working hard. They, you know, they're sacrificing. And I get to see their talent raw, right? So they're not trying to impress me. They don't know who I am. And I wait and I pick up, I hand pick out those athletes, and then I say, you know what, this is an opportunity that I could hand some of these people, some of these females, that's life changing, right? So one day they're just in the gym doing their thing, you know, training, having small fights here and there. And then I can hand them a huge platform and say, I would love for you to come fight for me. And that humbling experience, it's a bond between me and that fighter. You know, it's one of the last girls that I think you guys would absolutely love to follow is Gabrielle Roman. You know, she is one of the girls that I've brought from. You can kind of look into her backstory. She was living in a homeless shelter with her.
Oh no! I know. Come back. But yeah, if she comes back, I'll say something. But isn't that great that this person can be in a gym?
Yeah.
So Wayne, yay! Okay, you're back.
Sorry,
hello. Oh, she's out again. It's that hotel coverage. Yeah.
Wi-Fi. So sorry.
That's okay.
Okay, man. So Gabrielle Roman, she came from a homeless shelter type of thing, and then yeah.
There we go. Well, we do know that she came from a homeless.
We know homeless. That's right.
Kind of
so I think I guess one of the points I want to make here is that let's say with UFC. Yeah, I'm here.
There you are.
Okay. I think I got it.
Okay.
I'm so sorry.
It's
hold on.
Right. It's okay. That's all right. So the Gabrielle Roman, she came from a shelter and now she has a contract, right?
Right. So I was actually able to offer her a multi-fight deal with us, which was 3 fights. And I don't know you followed her story at all, but she came into the ring. She took a last minute fight that was offered to her because she, you know, needed the money for this. And the girl was 2 weight classes above her. She took a last minute fight on a 7-day notice, got into the ring. There was actually a 17-pound difference between the two of them. And she went all 5 rounds with this girl, and it went up to a draw.
Wow.
Right following that, she took a fight at the one. She's a natural 115, but she took a fight in our 125 division.
Wow.
The fight against a girl named Martina Kroll, which had just come off of a stunning victory. They were building her to go for the title shot with Christine Faria. She has this crazy, amazing jab to her. And Gabrielle gets in there, and Gabrielle Roman goes 1 round with her and wins by TKO in dominating fashion.
Wow.
Good night.
In her fight camp and setting up for her 3rd fight with us, and this has all happened within 8 months of her life. She is a living testament of how our platform can literally change someone's life because she no longer lives in that shelter. She no longer is struggling the way that was, and she's a big name. I really think we'll see her at some point going for a title shot.
Wow.
That's awesome. That's
fantastic. You know, not very many times, you know, if you look at other fighters in other leagues, they have to be in LFA or be in this league or this league or this league and then work their way up after they've had, or, you know, it takes them forever to get to a platform you guys the size. Shit, it might take 3-4 years in 2-3 leagues just to get the exposure to get picked up by you guys. So the fact that you know, right now that you can go into a gym, recognize talent, offer a lady, a woman, a 3-fight contract and bring her into as a professional from the jump, from the rip, right? Yeah. That's amazing. That really is amazing.
Yeah, and so rewarding. And I just love seeing the growth of all these girls. Now, I do love bringing over other superstars, you know, from other promotions where they've come out of MMA and you're the best at what you do. Come over and prove yourself with us. We want to see our homegrown athletes as good and competitive as what you are, and you're a superstar, and let's find out. Like, but I am put my girls in any other discipline and have 100% faith that they're going to come up on top.
Yeah.
It's got some elite, legitimate athletes.
No, hands down. No, and every year the roster seems to get better and better and better with more higher caliber athletes. And let's face it, I mean, you get somebody who is a grappler or a jiu-jitsu person. Well, you know what? You guys are pretty much going to have to teach them how to take their hands to the next level. Yeah, right. They might have been in MMA and they know enough to be in MMA, but they're not. They don't know enough to be in BKFC, right? So,
right. See the opposite. You see these MMA girls who they're fighting for the UFC or they're fighting for Invicta, and every loss of theirs is on the ground. Why? Because they have hands, and because hands are, you know, their hands transitioning over to BKFC is where the biggest benefit for them. You know, so it is kind of back and forth, you know. And then you were discussing a little bit earlier about Mike Perry. That's the perfect example. You can see the transition of what he made and look at him dominating in BKFC. It's just, he's doing an impeccable job.
Exactly. Wayne said he'll be right back. But, well, good. What an exciting time. I mean, the fact that you just, now, are you the first woman in that organization to hold the position that you hold? Are you the first person to hold it, in other words?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I am in history to be the women's coordinator at BKFC and the first woman ever to hold that position.
That's fantastic. And again, I know you got to leave here in about 5 or so minutes, but hey, your fighter development person, or if Mr. Feldman would come on the show, we would just drop dead with gratefulness. But and plus we need to, you know, I'm coming out, but I said something to Christine and almost went to Wichita, Kansas. I think y'all were there last year, and trying to are you guys coming to Texas or anywhere close that you know about? Maybe.
Well, hopefully. You know, that's not something that's 100% set in stone, so
sure.
But it's definitely something that we're looking forward to. I can't say a leaps and bounds as far as, you know, getting that a sanctioned state. Tons of great potential coming to Texas. They are a state born and bred there, raised
right
there, through and through. I know this will be right up their alley with the competitiveness and the fierceness. What BKFC brings to the table. So that's.
I could totally see BKFC go to a place like Corpus or the Valley and just kill it. You know what I mean? Just, you know, because it's off the beaten path. But man, just so many fight fans down there in the RGV. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. I think that even around Dallas area, you know, Houston, it's just so prominent with the boxing community there is so insanely.
I would love to see you come here and get active.
Oh man,
fall in love.
There's just a lot of people here, and just so you know, I mean, even here in Dallas-Fort Worth, in the Frisco area, there's going to be Universal Studios go up, and I think about another 210,000 homes. Yeah. Between like North Plano and McKinney. And I mean, think about that. That's just crushing that there's probably as many people that live in Wyoming as will live in this one little stretch in the DFW area. But I'm always about, you know, hyping this area just out of our sheer numbers. We're going to be as big as New York and LA here in about 3 years. We'll be in that 7-8 million range, you know. And as you know, being from here, there's just land for days, you know, to expand.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Excited whenever, you know, whenever we announce when we're coming.
Yeah. Well, man, please let us know. And just got a text from Christine. I texted her by accident, so shout out to her. I see her on my screens. It's a family show today. Really, really good. Tell us a little bit about some of the challenges that you face and some of the challenges that you have looking forward. And those can be good challenges, by the way, in terms of your job, the growth of what you do for combat sports. Go ahead.
So some of the challenges that I have in the growth, I would say women in general, the women's division, you know, we women get 1 to 2 fights on a card. You know, they're widely outnumbered by the amount of men and the talent that men bring to the table. We have probably 1,000 men contacting us to fight for our organization. So that's definitely something that sets me aside from other people being able to do
this.
That I do in BKFC is that I have a really good network with these women, and I have a really good network with a lot of these gyms and coaches and stuff, where I'm able to go and talk to these women and get them to try it out, get them to really understand what BKFC is and the perks and benefits of that. And I can tell you, I have not had one woman that I've recruited that got into the ring and said, I'm never doing this again.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, you can see, we just had a, you know, I just signed 15 girls.
Wow.
A little over a month ago. And by next year, my goal is to have an all women's card. And top to bottom, you know, just completely full of women's fights. I want the depth in the divisions to be so strong that these girls have chances to have more fights on these fight cards, and we see more than just one women's fight per card. I want to see 3. I want to see 4. I want to see 5 eventually. You know,
so, women's fight. So I guess right now, you can be a win-1, lose-1 fighter as a female, or even have less. And not just because, like you said, there's just not as many females, right? In other words, yeah, like your pain tolerance, my pain tolerance as a person in your job would be a little bit more for a few more losses just because you're still in the building phase of your roster?
Yeah, okay. I am building phase of my roster, which means I'm going to have a lot of debut fights. But what we see is that in their debut fight, initially, you know, the athletes they don't know what to expect. This is a new sport. They don't know exactly, you know, how it's going to transition for them. But then once they get in there, they get the feel of it, they start growing as an athlete. That's the great part about this, is we get to watch them grow and learn how to transition from the other disciplines that they've been learning their entire life to the very unique style of their own.
Well, Jules, I got a question that's on my mind since we met. What? How in the world did you get involved? What is your why? What's the reason you're doing this? I mean, how did you get involved? What's your personal story?
Well, I've always combat sports fan. I love being a part of that. I've always seen that the women, it's always stood out in my mind. Why is there only one woman's fight per card? Why do we only get to see a few women fighting? What's going on? Like,
right. The
reason behind what's happening. And the more and more that I got integrated into the sport itself, I understood that it was because there just wasn't enough attention being paid on that, specifically that division, because it was a little more complicated. It is harder to find women, you know? And so, you know, I started out a few years ago. I opened my own management company and a ran a management company.
That's right.
I started realizing that I really have a niche with these females. I had the most females in combat sports on my roster, you know, that I was managing.
I see.
I was negotiating against BKFC for my athletes.
I see.
David Feldman called me one day and he said, "Jules, I don't want to negotiate against you anymore. I want you to negotiate for me."
Awesome. That's awesome, man. That's really awesome.
You know, David is a really good person and really considerations the fact that this is his dream and it's come true and he's living his best life.
That's awesome.
Impact the combat sports world to elevate it to a whole nother level, and he did that, you know? So he's really adamant and really secure in talking to people and telling them that if you follow your dream and you really follow through with what you want, then it's possible to happen and you can make it happen. Look at what I did. And I love that energy from him. So when he knew that it was my dream to work with the women and to build something so amazing that no other combat sports promotion would be able to touch, he was like, "Have at it. Let's go." He is always open to any suggestions I have. He gives me so much leeway to be able to have the freedom and move and work as I need to. He doesn't put restrictions or limitations on me. I've got to tell you, it's one of the best career moves I ever made because I am so happy working for a boss like Feldman and working for an organization that treats their athletes so well at BKFC.
Right, you're right. The pay structure, right?
Difference.
Everything I hear about Feldman is positive. You know, from other people, BKFC people, from fighters to prospective fighters to even some of his competitors. I don't want to say competitors, but folks in other circuits. You know, so I think I think it's fantastic. I think you guys feel a great part of the space.
The thing about him is he has built a very strong team around him and a very dependable, loyal team. Feldman is a very smart businessman. Not only is he, very good at his social presence, he is very intelligent in the business setting. And that makes me confident in moving. That makes me confident my job is because I know that I'm backing behind if I need it.
Yeah, one of the things I mean, I noticed that you guys share refs with other and the ref thing I've seen has been top shelf. Kind of talk a little bit about the quality of the refs that you guys have at BKFC and how that's been such a good part of it.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that we choose to do is whenever we get sanctioned in a state, talk to the athletic commission, and it's something that no other promotions have really done. We talk to the athletic commission and we ask them, who do you recommend we use? Who do you see the best results out of? Who do you see the best performance out of? Mm-hmm. Obviously, that athletic commission is going to work hand in hand with the best referees possible that we have that relationship with. So, the commission usually helps us a lot in getting those referees in there, and
right
locally it's just astonishing. They do some of the best work, and they have a difficult job because we are sport, and our rule set is a lot different than what they've been used to, so still on the cutting edge of figuring out what exactly is black and white and where's their little gray area So they have a difficult job ahead of them, and they've been doing outstanding.
That's amazing. Right. There's a lot. That's amazing.
No, I mean, that's so it's good. I appreciate you sharing these different aspects of BKFC because it's not the same. It's not the same. It's a different form, of combat sport. And so I talk to people and I almost have to be an ambassador and educate people. Like, no, it's not, it's not this, it's this. And then I explain to people, I say, you know, ironically, it's not as bad to get hit with a knuckle and da 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 da. Like, really, I would never thought that, just like Wayne was saying. And so I'm like, yeah, the way the rounds are structured, the way this is kind of poised, you know, the way, you know, 1, 2, 3. And man, people just get kind of fired up, you know, just to see it, you know what I mean? Just to see something like that. And
I love this interview, and I do have to jump off because we have a fight this Friday in Denver, Colorado. You got to tune in.
Good luck.
I'm going over everything that needs to happen there. So
I bet. Okay. All right. Well, let's talk soon. I'll text you.
Yeah, bring me back on sometime. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you.
Thanks, Jules. Thank you so much. All right. Cool. Yeah. Well, that was Jules Gray, folks. Female, kind of the one-stop shop. Dana White, Sean Shelby, everything, whatever. I mean, she's one-stop shop in the female division for the bare knuckle fighting. And man, what a great time to be at the ground level of that, Wayne. I mean, this is like, you know, Solid Master in 1941 or something. Just trying to, can you imagine knowing what you know now and start in that industry? So that's what's just been real fascinating for me. And just to see, the meteoric rise that BKFC is really, really getting. For instance, they have an app, and I think it's only like $5 or $10 a year. And you can see every fight on the app and stream it from your phone or Roku or whatever. I mean, damn, you know, you're gonna pay $90 for a UFC pay-per-view.
Yep.
Was one fight.
Yes.
So
I like to do some of those.
But man,
she is very, very knowledgeable. I was blown away at her knowledge of the entire.
Yeah. I mean, and what a great move for David Feldman.
Yeah.
You know, she was a free agent. Female fighter representation company who represented fighters from across spectrum, and then for Feldman to say, hey, look, let me just hire you, put you on the payroll, get you a nice salary, and that way I'm not negotiating against you all the time. And
yeah,
and man, what a good move that was, because I'm sure he's going to save probably $1 million.
Pretty some kind of sharp girl.
So anyway, you know, much love and respect to Jules, and man, we'll try to get her on. And folks, I want to try to bring on that fighter promotion person.
Of course,
if we could get David Feldman, CEO, that'd be great. I mean, just so you can hear, you know. They want these people to improve in their craft. You know, in this case, their craft is fighting. You know what I mean? And and they want them to improve and make gains. And then they also want to treat them fairly. And that was good, because I think that's been one of the things that fighters in other leagues, they could turn a blind eye. You don't have health care with us. Screw you.
Yeah.
You want to go to the doctor? I guess you're shit out of luck. You know what I mean? So it's good that they have at least arrangements or whatever. I would think that they would have some sort of a group, like a bad Blue Cross.
That may be what they have. Something.
Yeah.
Hook them up in a group.
Some sort of a HMO, PPO, whatever, nothing. But at least to cover something while you're under contract, you know.
Yeah.
And then part of your contract goes towards your health care. Man,
maybe
I need a job over there. Let's do this. Anyway. Fun stuff there, man. So I'm glad you got to get your IQ growing their way.
I'll tell you, if they get them, I got to go to one of those with you.
Oh yeah, we'll go.
I got to go. That's just got to be the most. That's got to be so doggone exciting. I mean, tensions all night, the whole card.
Yeah, man. We can go to Oak Cliff and see the Luchaderos with the masks and have them throw Samsonite chairs and stuff.
We can break in. Hey, let me ask you something since we're on that. Don't laugh too hard, but you're from Houston, but do you remember there was a sportatorium in Dallas?
Wow.
Now, let me tell you, that was the place to go. It was just south I'll tell you, it was about where the Mixmaster is when you're going 30 and you're just getting to the Reunion Tower, you know, that Mixmaster.
Yes,
there.
Commerce. Yeah, Commerce.
It was just north or south of that, and it would have been on
Lamar?
Industrial. Not Lamar, it'd be going north and south. And it was a big deal. The Sportatorium, I mean, I know some old boys that really knew it in its heyday. But I went down there and saw the wrestling. They had wrestling there.
Oh, wow.
At the reason, now I know how much, but my son Andrew, when he was little, Hulk Hogan days and stuff.
Oh, wow.
He loved wrestling. Now, we know what it is, but he loved it. So, you know, I let him love it. But I took him down there to and they had the van. What's that famous family from Texas? Yeah. A lot of them died already, but Fritz Van. Yeah. Anyway, so they held Andrew on their shoulders, and we went, and I got a picture of Andrew at the match, and he's up going like this, and Heidi's right there. You know, I had both of them, and Heidi's 3 years older, and she was like, so she didn't like it, but he was just loving it. And they were throwing chairs and throwing people out of the ring. But the Sportatorium was.
What year was that? It had been like 70, 80, 81 or something?
Well, when I went, it was about 87, 88, and then it was gone. But in the 50s, 60s, 70s, it was rock and roll. You'll have to look up some history on it. You'll get a kick out of it. It was the place to be, and there was some hard stuff going on. So I'm sure there was some bare knuckle back in the day.
Yeah, the only thing, you know, back in our day, that the Astrodome had just been built. Yeah. It was the eighth wonder of the world.
Yep.
It was a big deal. And my grandfather, he had retired as an accountant from Link Belt, and he would be an usher to get people to their seats. And that's how he kind of passed some of his time, was being usher at the Astrodome.
Von Erichs. Their name was the Von Erichs.
Yeah, Von Erichs. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Fritz Von Erich and Andrew knew the two boys, and he was little, but they both held it on their shoulders, and it was a big, big dog thing. Yeah.
Wow.
And they were there, and it was not expensive. You know, you go there on a Saturday night and watch them, the whole family get in there and fight with other guys.
Hey, a lot cheaper than medieval times, man. You're going to pay a lot of money for that place. But yeah, man, it's just some good family, a good family outing. And
that's what it was, I thought.
A good price point. And yeah, man, no, that's why wrestling will still always be there, even though it is what it is. But wrestling fills a void in that space, just like BKFC does with what they're doing. Yep. So, I think that is some good stuff there. But anyway, I know we got about 6.5 minutes. Do you want to talk a little bit about that person?
Well, I don't think we've got enough time, I wouldn't mind mentioning it.
Okay, go ahead.
Just to broach the subject, but you know, you can read on the news over the weekend that Billy Miller, soap opera star, dead at 43 years of age. Mm. And he grew up in Grand Prairie. That's right here in the Metroplex, right here. Arlington, yeah. Grand Prairie. And I know his family. I knew him and my son, real good friends, that whole family. And he would still go up there on Thanksgiving because Dad Bill would have a barbecue all day and just a big time. And his wife, Pat, and their daughter, Megan, I think I've mentioned her before on a program because her husband was a patrolman, highway patrolman, but he just got, he's a Texas Ranger now.
Oh, wow.
I think I just mentioned that a few weeks ago, which is the big deal, you know, he got accepted and he's a Texas Ranger. But Billy decided to go to Hollywood, you know, young man from Grand Prairie, Texas, just like Selena Gomez, Grand Prairie, Texas. Mm-hmm. And, he went out there and became a big star, several Emmys from his daytime television. Mm-hmm. And over the weekend, he had moved to Austin to get away from Hollywood, like so many people are doing. And over the weekend, he committed suicide.
Oh, man.
And it's just so sad. And I won't say much more. Maybe we can talk about that on another show. Right. He was on General Hospital. A lot of outpouring of grief from his friends in Hollywood. But, you know, it's what you mentioned before. I haven't stopped thinking about that, Bruce. You know, if you're just going through life ticking off boxes, accomplishments, and you don't have a purpose,
right?
You don't got nothing.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to enjoy what you're doing, and it's hard to have fulfillment for what you're doing if it doesn't really have that purpose. So you're a human doing and you're making accomplishments, but it doesn't have that backdrop, you know? And for instance, and I've talked about this many times, but you know, here I was, Houston, A&M, and all of a sudden things go south in my really, but you know, I work in a mental hospital. And then I go to graduate school in Wyoming in the middle of nowhere. And then I get picked up by the Federal Bureau of Prisons. I mean, this is not something.
Wait a minute. When you want to be careful there, Bruce. You went to work for the Federal Bureau.
Yeah.
You didn't get picked up by. Yeah.
Right.
I want my friends to know that when you spent time in prison, it wasn't the normal time in prison.
I tell the inmates, I said, look, I furlough home every day and I self-surrender every morning. So, I mean, hell, I spent a third of my life in those places, man. Third of my waking life, man, for a quarter of a century. I mean, think about that. And you know what? And I didn't want that. So this is, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, God called me collect and I had to accept the charges.
Yeah. Well put. Yeah.
That's nothing short. But I think,
Bruce, that message you gave me this morning when we talked about the show today, our pre-production, what that leaves me, I've been thinking about that since you mentioned it, but, you know, it's important that we all wake up every morning. First, we surrender to God, but then we want to make sure that we tell ourselves our purpose. We want that purpose out there.
And, I mean, let's face it. You may not think you know what that is. Well, let's go find it.
Yes.
I mean, we know a couple of things right off the rip. We know that you were allowed to wake up today. Well, that's a damn good start. Believe me, when you're my age and we're just fucking grateful we got out of bed today. You know what I mean? Like, thank you, Jesus, for allowing me to live another day. And so
I say that every morning.
Good Lord. Yeah, we don't take all that for granted like we did when we were young. Moving forward, now what can I do to bless you, to bless people during this day? Now, what can I do? And then if you're still at a loss, my guess, my default is that if you do something for somebody else, that's a good place to start.
Man,
I'm building your purpose, right?
Yes.
So, hey, and if you do something for the poor or the widows, because that's right out of scripture, you know what I mean? That's a good place to start on your journey to find your new purpose. And you had to ask those questions. I've asked those questions. Like, man, you know, now I'm in my 60s. Do I work? Do I don't work? How much do I work? What kind of work do I do? How much money should I make? How much should I not make? What's more important in my life? You know what I mean? Well, so it's just this kind of reset of things.
I mean, that'd be a good show sometime with sometime that we ought to do, Bruce, because and that would be good in coaching to help coaches know when a higher person is needed. I mean, when somebody more qualified, it's kind of out of their bailiwick, and they need to turn it over.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Real important. I think that'd be a really good.
No. You're right. When somebody is clinically depressed. Yes. Biochemically imbalanced, psychiatrically ill, that you make that referral as soon as you see it.
Right now.
And you get out of it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We've said that again and again and again.
I think that'd be good. And here's a good, I hate to say it, textbook example.
Yeah.
A young man,
yep.
43 years old, handsome. I mean, you know, had, wonder what his purpose. Now, there isn't.
All right.
So anyway, we got to go.
Yeah, we got about 15-20 seconds here. So folks, it was another fantastic show here on the Concierge Coaches Show, LA Talk Radio, Jules Gray. That was great. BKFC, come back next time. We're having either an exciting show with me and Wayne, or two, another fantastic guest. So you can see me at ConcierceCoach.net. We're on the Concierge Coaches Show on Facebook. And Wayne, how can folks reach you?
Wayne_515@yahoo.com.
All right. That's a wrap, folks. So we'll see you next time on LA Talk Radio, Concierge Coaches Show. Take care, buddy.
See you, Bruce. Yeah. Bye.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Wayne Fritz, only on LA Talk Radio.